Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 610 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and new developments in the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza story. Again, if you haven't been following this all along, for 14 years, Food Not Bombs, a social protest organization, has been holding what they call a demonstration slash food giveaway at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza on Friday nights. It happens to fall after dark, after daylight savings hits. And so, you know, 2 weeks ago, they were confronted by Officer Roper of the Pensacola Police Department. He told them, you know, hey, this is in violation. They got into a conversation. Mike Kimbrell is, you know, one of the key organizers there. He's the director of the Alfred Washburn Center, and I think probably the most prominent homeless advocate here in this area. And he's not part of the... You know, he's not a representative of any of the sort of big agencies, you know, like, for example, Waterfront, you know, deals a lot with homeless, and he's not a part of them. And so, you know, a lot of times he's kind of the outsider in the conversations about these matters, but he's widely recognized as, you know, an important homeless advocate, and I consider him a friend. I don't agree with him about almost anything, but that's okay. You know, you don't have to agree with me to be friends. And so he and Officer Roper got into a conversation. Roper said, I'm going to warn you that this is after dark. The park closes at dark. You can't be here. It's a city park. You know, and he said, in order to write up this documentation, I need your ID. He wouldn't provide. Mark wouldn't give him the ID. You know, Roper says, okay, fine. If you're not going to give me ID, it's a misdemeanor. I'm not actually, you know, charging you. I mean, I'm going to wind up having to charge you with, you know, not complying with me for giving your ID for a misdemeanor. And so he winds up arresting him. That's kind of the short version of this. Well, in that conversation, you may remember that Mike had made the comment that he didn't want to provide an ID in solidarity with the homeless who may not have IDs, and also that, you know, they have a First Amendment right to be there, and Roper kind of quipped back, that's not how that works. You don't get to just express your First Amendment because you think so. This becomes relevant because on Friday, the news came out that somebody had provided a permit, and that's actually what Roper had wanted them to do, is, hey, go get a permit, you know, go make this legitimate. They had a handshake agreement with the city, but that's not official. Mayor D.C. Reeves says, hey, let's clear all this up. Let's make it official. Let's not, we all want this to be able to happen. Let's not make it a problem. And so let's get a permit. So somebody acquired the permit on behalf of Food Not Bombs. And so the mayor's like, cool, problem solved. Everything's great. Harmonious resolution, I believe, was his phrase. We are all on the good now. Not so fast. not exactly. In fact, he says, mayor posted at 8:34 a.m. The time will matter, sort of, right before the end of the show on Friday. I did not catch it quick enough to put it up on the show. But he said, this is a positive and harmonious resolution to what was an ambiguous situation. It's also a reminder what we can achieve when we work together in good faith to support one another. Thank you to Food Not Bombs for this work and our city staff for making it happen. So he's doing the old Dale Carnegie, you know, give somebody a good reputation to live up to. He's praising them in advance. Anyway, somebody unidentified provided a permit. 1:29 p.m., so this was 6 hours later, 5 hours later. Food Not Bombs Pensacola has been vocal that we will not request and do not want or need a permit. We don't need no stinking badges. We ask people not to request a permit on our behalf. Our weekly protest with a shared meal is protected by the First Amendment. Sharing food is always an unregulated gift of compassion. We don't know who obtained the permit. We learned about this through the mayor's Facebook post. We refuse this permit and believe the mayor's announcement neglects to address that citizens cannot walk through arrest in Martin Luther King Plaza without fear of harassment by police. We have requested a copy of the permit waiting for a response. Now, I know what most people will think about this. Your first reaction is, bro. Why can't we all just get along, you know, do a little Rodney King? Like, why can't we all just be fine? Why can't we all just, you know, somebody took care of it. It's not a problem. Everything's good. It's not that simple. And though food not bombs, and it, I mean, it sounds clearly like what they were wanting was, I mean, when Mike Kimbrell kind of, some people said he seemed like he wanted to get arrested, this makes it sound like he wanted to get arrested. He's glad to make the issue come to the forefront. You say, well, what's the issue? Well, I'll explain in a second, because though this is going to seem crazy to most of you, I suspect, it's not as crazy as it seems. We'll get there in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA. The bulk waste services now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 looking good. Highway 29 at 9 Mile intersection, both northbound and southbound. See, just a minor delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great collection of good quality used cars. You can look through 300 or so on the lot at any given moment. And by the way, what that means is not just that they have a lot of good cars, low miles, great condition, good prices, that they stand by, warranty them all for 100,000 miles or 10 years. But also, they are in need of inventory. If they sell about half of their inventory every month, you know, 150 cars, that means that somehow they got to buy 150 cars. Or eventually, you know, it's hard for a car dealership to operate with no cars. You know, you're out of business. So they're always looking to buy good quality cars. So, you know, you might think, I don't need to buy a new, I always buy new cars. Cool. If you buy a new car every year or two and just upgrade and upgrade and upgrade, Frontier's a great place to sell cars, because they will give you top dollar for that car. And in fact, you want to sell it even a little bit better than that price, you can consignment sell it to them. And, you know, they'll put your minimum price on there and they'll take it. That no extra fees for that, just might take a little bit longer. So if you have good quality cars to sell, Frontier Motors is a great place to do that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to this Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza dust up and the refusal of Guns Not Bombs to accept the permit applied for on their behalf, which meant that what they did on Friday, I assume they fed on Friday, I don't know, but it was really rainy, so maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't. Anyway, had they, it would have been legal. And PPD was, I mean, surely not going to have anything to say about it because it would have been legal. But they don't want the permit. We don't want no stinking badges. We don't want the permit. And that might sound to you crazy, because why wouldn't you take the permit to make it so there's no problem, so that everybody can get along and you can do your food? Okay. Because to them, that's accepting the premise that the city has the right to tell them no. And you say, well, it's the city. They have the right to tell them no. Not so fast, okay? They think, their view, is that under the First Amendment, right to assemble, right to petition the government for redress of grievances, right to engage in free speech, which they believe feeding is speech, okay, expression, they're not just doing a homeless feeding, they're doing a protest. This is a political action. And they don't believe that you have to get permission from the government to exercise your First Amendment right to protest, to demonstrate, to act, to speak. And from their point of view, getting a permit, even a free one that somebody else takes care of or one that somebody else pays for, it's a little unclear to me which is the case, but in either case, if somebody else has gotten a permit on their behalf, they don't want it. They want to be able to do the thing without government permission. And although that seems perhaps a little crazy, let me run you some scenarios in which you would probably see it more their way. And I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes it helps to just kind of try to see it from their point of view. Even you can come back and say it's wrong afterwards. You know, a lot of people are scared to look from somebody else's point of view because you're worried that you'll lose sight of your own or that your side won't be as strong as you thought it was, and you'll have to admit there's weakness on your side. Well, good. That's progress. That's how it's supposed to work. Don't let that fear drive you to not consider another point of view. Let that fear motivate you that, oh, there's something here I ought to look into, because if I'm afraid to look at the other side, it might be that my position is not as strong as I think it is. That's like good civics. Okay, so imagine the following scenario. Imagine that you're somebody who wants to start a church. And let's say the city of Pensacola had an ordinance requiring churches to be registered in the city, you know, in order to preach or perhaps take collections under the sort of regulation of commerce clause or something like that. Would you apply for a permit to the city to exercise your religion? Well, some would. Some would be like, fine, no big deal. Let's comply with the law. Let's submit to the authorities, Romans 13. Some people would say, oh, hell no. The city does not have the power to tell me that I cannot preach the gospel. That is core First Amendment protected speech. They can't make me stop. And so because they can't make me stop, I'm not going to register with them. Because registering with them is accepting the premise that they have the power to regulate us, and they don't have this power. It's unconstitutional. So you might refuse to get a gospel preaching permit in order to protest the city's unconstitutional power grab to try to permit churches, you know, the way China does. And you would find that offensive as a Christian or somebody who believes in the Constitution. And so you would protest. And if somebody came and said, oh, it's okay, we took care of your permit, I did it for you, be like, I don't want your permit. I don't want anybody to feel like they have the power to tell us not to preach the gospel. We want the good trouble of protesting this unconstitutional law. And if that means we get arrested and that means we get thrown in jail and that means we run an appeal and we go to the Supreme Court, well, good, because let's clarify this and tell all the cities out there that they can't regulate. You see, if that were the case, you can kind of see how something that was meaningful to you that you view as a constitutional privilege or a right is something that you don't want anybody to give you the permission to do. I think you can think of cases here where, you know, what if they were trying to issue parenting permits or permission to spank your kids or permission to own a gun or permission to publish a newspaper? Well, all you got to do is get a little permit to run the newspaper. Nah, bro, we don't have to do that. First Amendment. Ah, it's okay. It's free. Somebody else did it on your behalf. No big deal. Nah, bro, we don't need a permit for that. Arrest me. Let's go to court. Let's do this. So that you don't have to agree that they have a right to be in a public park after dark distributing food as a form of protest. You might say they have to obey by the city ordinances, and city can regulate time, manner, and place of speech, of conduct. And so they can do it during the day without a permit, or maybe they have to get a permit if they're going to be organized in some way. You know, you can still say they're wrong. You can still say they can't do this because the right of the city to control its property, especially when there are public nuisance issues. I just wanted you to see what they're trying to accomplish, and that in saying no to the free permit, they're not necessarily nuts. They're just adamant that the right to feed and speak and protest are all wrapped up together in a way that they don't think the city should be able to regulate. So were they looking for a fight? Well, it sounds like they were, and they got it. Of course, now, if the permit is ongoing, PPD's not going to show up, it's going to be hard for them to get arrested when they're doing something that the city considers to be legal. So will they switch to a different location where they can get arrested? I mean, I don't know. But that's kind of, I just wanted you to think about that a little bit differently. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporized sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
Hi, this is Katie King with E.W. Bullock, wishing you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished moments.
This is Monroe Watley at Frontier Motors, wishing you a safe holiday season, and remember, please don't drink and drive.
From all of us at the WEAR Morning News, and there's a lot more of us than you see every day on TV, we certainly wish you happy holidays.
From our family to yours, all the joys of the season.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
I'll go to that voodoo that you do.
away!
I want to make sure you're following the proper channel, so that way it's like, hey, we're here legally, we're good. It's kind of like how Palafox Market can be here legally.
We believe we're here. We believe we have a First Amendment right.
Oh, you don't. That's not how that works.
You remember that moment from the interaction between Officer Roper and Mike Kimbrell? He says, we believe we do have a First Amendment right to be here, that we are entitled to this space. And Roper says, that's not how that works. But that's exactly the question they're trying to push. Is do we have the right to engage in this protest slash demonstration slash speech slash food giveaway at a time and place and manner that the city does not approve of after dark at a city park that is also a median, that is also a walkway? That's the question that they want to push. 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. They are now Russell Landscape Group, delivers premier landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast, combining local expertise, reliable service, and lasting quality to elevate every community they serve. Give them a call, 770-446-3552. Just one accident on the books right now, Davis Highway and Olive Road. That accident is causing no roadblock. Just wanted you to be aware. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody texts in, don't you require a permit for organized protests, even if that's what he is calling it? Generally, I think yes, but somebody might say, I don't think we even need to get a permit. The Constitution protects our right. We don't have to solicit the city for the ability to hold a demonstration. Somebody else says, I don't think I should need a permit to work at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza because people cross through that park after sunset, like going from business to business instead of going all the way to the end and then walking on the street or whatever. You know, so that's a question specific to that location. Somebody says, I think the main reason the city identifies that area as a park is to prevent homeless from sleeping on those benches overnight. That's a lateral consequence of that rule. Probably another reason they're protesting. Yes, most definitely. Also, permit here is both justified and reasonable, non-infringing way because there is food service involved. They don't want a solution. They want to fight because they are professional activists. Somebody says, problem is that while Martin Luther King Plaza is a park by designation, it's also a median in fact, and a more careful crafting of regulations for this park is needed to achieve the city's intended objectives. Agreed. Somebody says they sound like a bunch of bottom feeder Democrats looking for a lawsuit. You can disagree with their objective. You can disagree with their methods, and you can think as whatever you think of them. I mean, you know, you're right to have any opinion. I think they're sincere people who identify themselves and align with a group that is generally not treated all that well by our society. And though I think they go too far sometimes, I actually kind of respect people who take these things seriously enough to break the rules and risk getting arrested, if only to clarify the rules. They're not engaging in, well, I mean, there's been past incidents, but in this particular case, they're not damaging anything. They're not defacing. They're not attacking anybody. They're not, you know, there's a lot of ways you can do protests wrong, and they're not doing any of that. And so if somebody is going to engage in protest and then get arrested and sort of take it, that's what our system is designed to allow for. And then we'll solve this in the courts, right? 437-1620. Somebody says, let me sum it up for you. He's a professional agitator, not an activist. And somebody says, the city ordinance isn't about the assembly, but about time of opening and closing the parks. We don't have the right to enter the business to assemble. And there's truth in that, too. The city has the power to regulate its spaces. And the question is going to be, what power should it or does it have over that particular space? But anyway, like I said, I wanted you to see it as a little bit more complicated than probably it looks to first blush. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump has a few concerns about Netflix and their plan to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. He says that deal could be a problem. The president spoke at the Kennedy Center Honors in Washington. He noted that Netflix already dominates the market and says that merger would give them an even bigger share. Netflix announced last week on Friday that they're planning to purchase Warner Brothers Discovery and its streaming platforms in a deal worth about $72 billion, closer to $83 billion when you include their debt. That deal does still need to be federally approved. Meanwhile, if you're planning on driving north, just don't do it. It's cold in the Midwest. This is what I've been told by my family, but also it's in the news headlines here. Parts of the Midwest seeing temperatures below zero this morning, Andrew. So just don't Don't do it.
Don't go there.
Don't go there. Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, unless you really want to play in the snow that you might be able to find in some places.
Possibly.
The blizzards.
Also, there's a court order that's been blocked by the Justice Department, that's blocked the Justice Department from seeing evidence belonging to a former lawyer for ex-FBI Director James Comey. Saturday's ruling by a district court judge in Washington, D.C. came in the form of a temporary restraining order.
Yeah, similar with the Letitia James stuff, right? Like, you know, the court threw out the suit and now they're kind of having trouble getting another one going. Maybe because some people are suspicious about these suits, these cases.
Pelosi, the Supreme Court today is hearing arguments in a case about President Trump firing Federal Trade Commission Commissioner Rebecca Slaughter without cause. The court ruled 90 years ago President Roosevelt broke the law doing the same thing.
Slaughter points to a decades-old Supreme Court ruling that already found the removal clause means one must demonstrate inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. The Senate is going to vote on Democrats' bill to extend the Affordable Care Act subsidies for 3 years as early as Thursday.
That bill that is expected to hit the Senate floor this week is a Democratic proposal. Dems are pushing for a 3-year extension of ACA subsidies, something Republicans have made clear they won't vote for. Republicans, for their part, are also split between members who want an overhaul of Obamacare and those who are worried about the political consequences.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 51 degrees. We've got cloudy skies here in Pensacola this morning. And we'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, Santa Rosa County has received two bids to purchase the historic Milton Courthouse so far. The deadline for submissions was recently extended. That's going to go till January 5th now to give developers more time to evaluate the property. The county's been trying to sell the 36,000 square foot building since it moved its courthouse functions to Avalon Boulevard in 2023. The building's been sitting vacant. It costs the county roughly $75,000 a year in maintenance. County officials say they're open to either preserving or demolishing the building, although they say renovation could be expensive. Incoming commission, Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman Colton Wright says a strong bid, though, could help to revitalize downtown Milton. Now, there was an incident involving a small aircraft at the Pensacola Airport yesterday. The plane carrying four people reportedly went down north of a runway at about 5:30. Police say there were no deaths. There were some minor injuries. Airport officials say that they'll release more information once they learn more from there. Investigation. Pensacola man is facing felony charges after deputies say they recovered more than $34,000 in stolen property across multiple locations in cantonment. That investigation started with a tip about a stolen tractor. That was way back in October when deputies searched the area. They say they found a utility trailer, boat engines, Harley-Davidson motorcycles, which had all been reported stolen from a commercial burglary. A second search also found a 17-foot boat and an enclosed trailer with even more stolen items, including another motorcycle, washer and dryer, and tools. 47-year-old Odom is charged with dealing in stolen property, grand theft, burglary, and criminal mischief. Mobile eye care unit will be headed to seven different Escambia County elementary schools this week. And they say it's part of the Florida Hyken Children's Vision Program. And that program says many students struggle with realizing they can't see the board. Well, that's where the program comes in. Their mobile clinic is coming to Escambia County to provide comprehensive eye exams and glasses to low-income students who failed school vision screenings. Virginia Jacko from the Miami Lighthouse for the Blind says the transformation seen in kids is dramatic once they get glasses.
People get used to seeing what they see. So it's like a miracle when the doctor hears the child say, even the teacher, I can see the board now. Of course that results in academic success.
And Virginia Jacko there, she says 76% of kids that get glasses show much improvement on report cards, and the program's been serving Florida schools for more than 30 years now. Well, Florida Senator Rick Scott says Nicolas Maduro's days are numbered. Scott was on Fox News yesterday. He said Venezuela's president could be forced out of office by this Christmas. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right, still dealing with that one accident on Davis Highway and Olive Road. Again, that's no roadblock associated with that one, but I just wanted you to be aware. Let's see here, I-10, I-110, all look good, 90, 98, flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing those rain chances coming to an end as you go into the late morning hours. By the afternoon, partly cloudy skies with a high near 59 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 30s. Going into Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 57. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 44. Going into Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 66, and a low Wednesday night near 51. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
52 right now. We've got cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply lower by more than 1% due to stalled Ukraine peace talks and supply outlook. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $59.43 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $63.09 per barrel. Anheuser-Busch has announced it plans to acquire a majority stake in Beatbox, a fast-growing party punch and hard tea brand headquartered in Austin, Texas. A&B will spend up to $490 million for 85% of Beatbox, with a path to full ownership after 5 years. Treasury yields held steady this morning as expectations continued to rise on an interest rate cut at the Federal Reserve's meeting on Wednesday. The 10-year Treasury yield was up 1 basis point at 4.153%, while the 30-year Treasury yield was up 1 basis point as well at 4.806%. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 104, the NASDAQ up 72, the S&P 500 up 13. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
A new exclusive offer with an eligible Bank of America Visa credit card is your opportunity to go from cardholder to ticket holder for the FIFA World Cup 2026. For a limited time, when you're approved for a new customized cash rewards or unlimited cash rewards Visa credit card, you're eligible for a chance to purchase FIFA World Cup 2026 tickets. Learn more today at bofa.com/cardfwc26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America N.A. in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. All rights reserved.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up 2 clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Bro,
at 6:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I'm going to wade in on a story that I don't know enough about. You ready?
What, Andrew?
Well, you'll understand why. Okay. I don't know enough about it once we get to talking about it. But there's been this headline for, gosh, about a week or so now. And the headline goes something like this. At the University of Oklahoma, a junior gets failed on an essay because her rainbow teacher didn't like her biblical perspective on sexuality. Something like this. Samantha Fulnecki, I'm not making this up, sounds like a transgression, but I don't make those up either. You know, that's all. University of Oklahoma junior got a failing grade on an essay. She filed a report with her school alleging she's been discriminated against because of religious beliefs. In response, school puts the instructor who gave her the bad grade on leave. The assignment was to write a reaction to a psychology article on gender stereotypes in middle school students and how it affects their mental health. This is a college paper, but about middle school students and gender stereotypes, okay? The idea that women do this and men do this. In the paper, Fulnecki, so unfortunate, bases her argument nearly entirely around Christianity and the Bible, arguing that, quote, women naturally want to do womanly things because God created us with those womanly desires in our hearts. The college junior went on to write that, quote, society pushing the lie that there are multiple genders and everyone should be whatever they want to be is demonic. So she wasn't exactly mild in her terminology. Instructor Mel Kurth gave the assignment a zero for not addressing the reading. Kurth, who Turning Point USA identifies as trans and other news outlets, opened feedback note to Fulnecki saying that they were not deducting points because of the student's beliefs, but rather because she didn't follow the assignment. She contradicted herself, she made offensive comments, and did not provide empirical evidence. The Turning Point USA post also included feedback from another instructor who said she agreed with Kurth's grading and that this paper should not be considered a completion of the assignment. I'm getting you more facts before I give you my analysis, right? The university said in a statement it had received a grade complaint, but that the student had also reported filing a claim of illegal discrimination based on religious beliefs. School said it was conducting a full review. Fulnecki went through the grade appeal process. University of Oklahoma takes seriously concerns involving First Amendment rights, certainly including religious freedoms, end quote. That's a statement by the school. It added the instructor had been placed on administrative leave until the school completes its formal review process. Republican Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma says, the First Amendment is foundational to our freedom and inseparable from a well-rounded education. Situation at OU is deeply concerning. I'm calling on OU regents to review the results of the investigation, ensure other students aren't unfairly penalized for their beliefs. What do you think? John, you know me pretty well. What's my perspective on this going to be?
Well,
this I don't know. It's going to be one of those, like the answer is going to be 500,000. And you think the answer is 200, but because I asked the question, you're going to go for a million. Like you're trying to backbend yourself into figuring out, well, what's the opposite of what I think the opposite of what he wants to say really is.
But it's so true. It is, man.
It's like Inigo Montoya fighting Fizzini at the Iocane powder. You know, that's exactly what you think I'm going to do. Anyway, so what do you think? What's natural? Well, listen, what's natural conservative Republican answer on this?
That's just going to get a good grade.
She should get a good grade because
she
wrote something that's based on her religion and she shouldn't be punished for expressing her Christianity.
Right.
I'll say not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, I'll say not so fast. Yeah. And here's the part where I'm going to have to say what I don't know. I have no idea what to think about this controversy until I've read the paper and the assignment. I taught for 10 years. I'm perfectly capable of telling you whether an assignment is fair and whether the paper is a satisfaction of that assignment. But I do not know. It might be out there. I haven't done a lot of research to go try to look for it. I'll just say this. It's entirely possible that this person gave an assignment that she failed to do. Now, the part about being offensive should not count against her. And it concerns me that he included that or they or whatever. I don't care. Included it in the statement. But could the person have contradicted herself? Could the student have not done the assignment? Could they have irrelevantly engaged in religious reference? Of course. It's entirely possible that this was a zero assignment, that she didn't do it right. It's also entirely possible that she's... And by the way, the second teacher weighing in on it gives me, some evidence that that might be true. It's also entirely possible that she wrote a perfectly legitimate essay that she's getting punished for her religious beliefs. Both happen in higher education. You have teachers who will punish you for disagreeing with them. That happens.
Oh, it
a
does.
A lot.
Trust me.
You have students who think they're being brilliant and contrarian, and they're just doing it badly. That happens. At least some of the time. I won't say a lot, but that at least happens. So my answer, you know, I had somebody ask me the other day, a friend is like, have you seen this thing? And I'm like, I have. And they're like, are you upset? And I'm like, I don't know enough to be upset. I literally don't know enough. And I feel pretty comfortable that the university is going to figure it out. And this is coming from a person who got fired a bunch, you know, for teaching religion in the classroom that I thought was relevant that the administration did not agree with. And so, you know, I got either not asked back because as an adjunct, you don't often get fired. But, you know, pretty clearly, well, you can drop these and these and these elements and we'll keep you can keep teaching. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. The students love it. It's relevant. You're wrong. You know, for example, ethics. In order to talk about ethics, you need to talk about what a human is. In order to talk about what a human is, you have to talk about where they came from and or what might have made them. So you have to talk about things like evolution and creation and origins and God and authority. And they're like, well, you know, and actually it was funny, you know, the thing that got me in the most trouble was talking about sexuality and talking about it. Actually, I'll tell the story in a second. It's kind of an interesting story. Go ahead, John. Tell them about traffic.
All right. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about if you're on Highway 29 southbound. Toward 9 Mile Road. Just see some minor delays there. Also, Avalon Boulevard, southbound, headed toward I-10. Just a 5-minute delay there. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Please continue.
Okay. By the way, somebody got a couple of texts in here, 437-1620. And keep in mind, if you're new to the show, you are always welcome to disagree with me. I always actually kind of cater to people who disagree a little bit because I think that, I don't know, it makes for an interesting conversation, but also, you know, it doesn't interest me all that much. And people are like, you're smart. You know, like, okay. I mean, you know, that's, but how does that help the conversation? Somebody says, did she follow the rubric? If you're not familiar, rubric is the rules for the evaluation of, you know, it's the assignment framework, if you want to think of it that way. It's an education-y word that gets used a lot now, but they use it all the time, even in grade school now. If so, she failed because of bias. If she didn't, she deserves to fail. Right, exactly. That's exactly correct. My first question, somebody says, is did she follow the instructions? Somebody else says if she didn't follow the assignment, she gets a bad grade. However, someone needs to prove that. Right. Okay. For me, just my experience teaching is there were two things I taught that got me in trouble, even though, again, the students loved it, but the administration didn't always. It was talking about human origins and, you know, raising questions about the theory of evolution and, you know, where do we come from? Because, you know, if God made us, then your answers on ethics are going to be different than if nothing made us. I mean, that's obvious. Everybody kind of gets that. But if, you know, God didn't make us, then, you know, lots of things are possible. If God did make us, it pretty much matters what he thinks. Anyway, so that was one part. The other part was talking about sexuality. And we'd spent a whole week on sex and dating and marriage. And one day, so 1 hour, if you want to think of a 50-minute segment, we would, or class period, if you prefer, instead of radio terms, we would talk about homosexuality, same-sex relationships. And what I would literally do is put up on the board pro-con. One side was the arguments for and one side was the arguments against. And the thing about the issue of same-sex behavior is that if you list out all the arguments that get made, and there are dozens of them, sort of argument themes, you know, people are born that way, nobody chooses love, you know, God says it's wrong, can't reproduce, you know, just all the stuff. If you list out all the arguments against and for, and then you really analyze all of these arguments, they all fall away, except for two. And the two are, I want to engage in this behavior, and God says you shouldn't. And that's the issue. And, you know, the reason I did that is to show people that in this topic, like in other topics, there's lots of smoke. There's lots of bad reasoning. There's lots of really terrible argumentation. And people throw up these arguments as if they're meaningful. And they're not. They're poor. On both sides. On both sides. And fundamentally, what makes this issue so hard of human sexuality is that it really is at its core about whether there's a divine rule for how the universe is supposed to operate and therefore you're obliged to follow it, or there isn't. And that's it. That's really all there is to it. And that's a frustrating thing for a complicated issue. So, ironically, though I believe God's there and God says no, what I showed the students was that all the arguments that people on my side make against it are all terrible, except for that one. And that one depends on what you believe about where we came from. And if there isn't a God making the rules, then, I mean, do what you want with your parts, you know? You know? I mean, you know.
Do what you want.
That's, if there's no creator who made you and owns you and has the authority to decide what you do with your parts, then do what you want with your parts. But if there is a creator, then what you do with your parts matters to the creator. And I mean, that's it. That's the whole issue. So I would, you know, and that would, well, you can't talk about that. Literally, I'm criticizing my own side and criticizing the other side at the same time. Anyway, so that used to get me in trouble too. Even though, what do you think? Students, do they like this?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was fabulous. They loved hearing somebody honestly, ruthlessly assess these arguments that they've kind of heard their whole life and nobody's ever bothered to really walk through them because, you know, in the university environment, we need to make sure that we're open and inclusive to all. It's an ethics class. You challenge those assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea of ethics, is where does this stuff, you know, it's one claim that you should be open and inclusive to all and not care. Well, that's an ethical position. It's another view that you should be not inclusive and not approving and discouraging or perhaps even outlawing. That's an ethical position. Well, which one's right? I mean, that's, you know, those are fair questions to ask in a society like ours, especially in higher education. Anyway, 651 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody's laughing at the use your parts. I don't know. Sometimes I just have a way of saying it, I guess. 437-1620. So back to this paper, the Oklahoma paper. I have no position on this case, except the general position that if I read the assignment and then I read the paper, I'll be able to tell you whether she deserved a good grade or a bad grade. And so will other university people, theoretically, should be able to figure this out. And I'm willing to say that at the risk of being proved wrong because somebody actually did read the paper, if these people haven't read the paper, they have no idea what they're talking about. And if they haven't seen the assignment, they have no idea what they're talking about. And the fact that a transgender teacher gave a Christian student who was overtly Christian in her paper a failing grade doesn't tell you anything yet. You don't know enough. So be cautious about jumping to big conclusions. Oh, the outrage! No. If somebody's read the paper and read the assignment and they have an opinion based on that, okay, fine. I will defer. But if it's just, you know, the Christian. By the way, one of the things I used to always tell my students, it's just kind of funny, is you get some students who are like, they get very worked up about their religious rights and their religious beliefs and how they're under fire in the university or in the high school or the junior high or whatever. And they want to go cause a fuss in class. You know, they're in biology class and they want to cause a fuss about origins, which is in itself maybe okay. But what I used to always tell them is, what's your grade point average? And then they'd be like, well, you know,
silence.
C minus. And I'm like, then shh. Just keep it to yourself. It's an A. Oh, go ahead. Because, you know, I want the good students causing trouble in class. Not the student who's like barely hanging on for dear life in the class and now wants to raise some religious objection and be the representative for religious people. Shh. Get your grades up. Then you can be a troublemaker. Don't be a troublemaker as a failing student or a D student. 653 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you.
submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You know Squeegee Squad for spotless windows and powerful pressure washing. But this holiday season, let there be light. From classic Christmas lights to Govee permanent lighting, Squeegee Squad designs a custom look that fits your home perfectly. And hey, get off the ladder. Their licensed, insured pros handle the install, the detail, and the dazzle. Residential or commercial, windows, power washing, gutter cleaning, Christmas lights, and Govee lights. Squeegee Squad does it all. Less hassle, more ho, ho, ho. Call Squeegee Squad and light up your holidays.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Look, mister, there's three rules you've got to follow.
Yeah, what kind of rules?
Keep him out of the light. He hates bright light, especially sunlight. It'll kill him.
I had never heard of this band. Sum 41, you ever heard of this band?
Yes.
You heard this song?
Oh, yeah. Did we play this in college?
I was reading something. I love this. I mean, I love the song. But they were talking, it was the article about how they were, you know, an opening act and they were a headliner. And I'm like, I'd never even heard this. Anyway, 657 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 westbound, especially
How dare you? The kid says, there's no X in especially. Oh. Don't ask me no questions. There's no X in ask.
Especially near Highway 29 exit, we've got an accident.
Swear to God, if you say Detroit, I'm going to smack you.
Well, there's not an accident there. At least I'm far enough away.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
And the traffic is starting to back up almost all the way to Pine Forest. So just be aware of that. That's going to be a 30-minute delay in that area as they're trying to get that cleared up out of the way. Other than that, the rest of I-10 looks good. 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Andrew, the Bible says that you should not swear by anything on earth or in heavens or anything. You shouldn't swear by things. Do you even read the Bible, bro? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Well, good morning,
I don't think any like devoted fundamentalist who's upset with my swearing on the radio is going to say bro. But David, go ahead.
Well, there is a vote coming soon over the Affordable Care Act tax credits. The government shutdown ended after Senate Majority Leader John Thune promised a group of Democrats a vote on the issue. Republicans say they've been struggling to craft legislation that would get enough votes to fix the core issue of rising costs. The last pennies minted by the U.S. government are expected to bring in some big money at auction. Those coins will be sold by Stax Bowers Galleries on Thursday with 232 three-penny sets, one for each year that pennies have been in circulation. Each set will include two regular pennies from the mints in Philadelphia and Denver and one 24-karat gold penny, and each is expected to bring in $45,000 to $50,000. And Waymo apparently recalling software tied to its robo-taxis that illegally passed stopped school buses. Apparently this happened at least 20 times in multiple cities. Waymo cars just kept on driving as buses were stopped with lights flashing and a stop sign extended.
It sounds like they just do what every driver does.
The AI is becoming more human.
AI is just human. It's like when the AI is a racist, you know, and you're like, why is the AI a racist? Because people are racists. And if you learn enough, some people just become racist. You know, same thing like, I mean, not saying it's product of, you know, education, but, you know, and I'm not making light of it, but it is kind of funny that, after all, the Waymo is just driving like drivers drive, you know, badly.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze.